Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Well, merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Tonight we're going to be talking with Charity Bedell and talking about her book, Container Magic. Now, she's also known as Luna Wind and is co-author of the Good Witch's Guide series and the Wikipedia spell deck, and that's Wicca as in Wiccan. She is a British traditional witch and is initiated in the temple tradition. She's written for Witch's Almanac and Kindred Spirit magazine, and she's presented at festivals such as WitchCon 2020. If you're listening live in the Para-X chat room, fire away with questions or comments you might have for her. And if you're not here and you want to be here, come over to paraxradionetwork.com and join in. Hi, Charity. You can come out now.
Hello.
You know, I think what we're going to try to do tonight, and it's going to be tough maybe, but we're going to try and do a mini basic Container Magic 101 class because, you know, it's not quite as simple as find a jar, throw something in it, and that's that. There's a whole lot more to magic, isn't it?
There is, and that's actually what started the whole book. Because I was browsing Facebook groups, as I often do, and there were a lot of beginners who would do a container magic spell, but all they would do is they just had an intent, and they threw everything they thought would be related to the intent in the jar, and then did nothing. And then they complained that the spell didn't work. I'm like, well, you're missing some steps there.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the words container magic seem to be self-explanatory, but so many different types of containers, other than jars or boxes, there's a whole bunch of them in there, and I was kind of scratching my head that I never considered them magical or even something that would be a container. Kind of where did you find out all these different things as opposed, because I mean in the beginning we always just know jars, but then you took the next step and went looking for other things.
I mean, yeah, everyone knows jars and charm bags, and that's really, and poppets, when you fill a poppet, those are the three that people seem to know and always seem to focus on. But through a lot of trial and error, there were times when I've lived in places and times where I had to be very creative in how I worked magic, I began to develop and realize that there were other things that could be used as a vessel for magic. Like, I've been on all kinds of different medications for depression and anxiety my whole life, but I can repurpose those old medicine bottles to be a charm for the same thing to carry with me at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You could even do, and when this thought came out, I remember like 10 years ago, where there was the Coke rave where you had to go and try to find your name on the bottles. And when you think about it, a Coke bottle kind of has the shape of a human body.
True.
So if you had the bottle with not necessarily your name, but the name of someone you wanted to do magic on or for, you could use that and make a poppet, and it would have their name on the bottle, so it would be already somewhat associated with them.
I never would have thought of that. That's a great idea.
And I mean, Yeah, it is a great idea because a lot of people have issues with working with plastic. My thought is, I personally never experienced plastic interfering with the energy flow of herbs or anything. And also by using them in spells and repurposing them, that's keeping them out of landfills and out of other places where they shouldn't be. So it's another way to recycle and repurpose. And that's another way of serving nature, is reusing all of these.
And talking about nature, there's a message, not a question, but, well, maybe a question from the chat room. Is growing a container garden, is that container magic?
Yeah, that it is, because one of the things you could do is you could write a petition on a little piece of paper that's non-toxic and bleached with a pencil, put it on the bottom of the container, and as the plants grow, your intent and wish will grow at the same time. So it can work as a container magic, because it's going to be the little soil and jar that the herbs are growing in that's going to be the vessel for growing and containing the magic.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's another question. It could be, can it be like sympathetic magic? For instance, can you use an old antibiotic bottle to heal?
Yes, very much so. And that's also the same, but like what I was getting on with how I could use that medication for my depression or anxiety as a healing charm for depression and anxiety. It'll also reuse the bottle, be something I can carry with it, but it also has energy associated with it that related to fighting depression and anxiety that'll also add to the spell.
And it just, you know, it's popping in my head, like suppose, you know, if somebody has stomach issues and you have an old Pepto-Bismol jar, that would work too, wouldn't it?
Yep. It's the same, it's the same concept. Just like for a beauty spell, you could use an empty makeup bottle. I know some of them have really small openings, so it could be a little difficult to figure out how to work with it. But it is something you could do. And that would be
good
beauty and love spells.
There are so many options, you know? I mean, you don't think about it when you hear about container magic. Okay, it's a box, like you said, it's a jar. You know, we all do that. And I'll be honest, I wasn't thinking about a poppet being a container for some reason. So, I mean, that's the beauty of your book. It's all full of stuff like that. Makes you think and things that maybe we overlooked, and then it's going, well, why didn't we think of that? You know, it's common. It's not something that, you know, you have to go and have a college degree to figure out. But I think that's a really good reason for people to get the book, because it just goes on and on and on like that.
I mean, it's true. People think of poppets for sympathetic magic and, you know, for example, using the traditional voodoo poppet doll for healing, where you would stick pins in the areas that needed healing as it was covered with oils and stuff related to healing, and that would be it. That would be another thing. But what makes a poppet a container spell is when you're filling it, and you have, like, if you're sewing it from fabric and you're filling it with herbs and other curios like crystals or animal fur or other personal effects, that's what makes it a container, is that it's being filled with magical objects for a magical intent, and the magic is built within that container.
Yeah. Somebody asked if your heart is a container, and then I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, we can't fill it with something, but we can fill it with manifesting or something, can't we?
That's a tough one. I wouldn't have to think. I mean, a way I could think about doing that is if you took what your food you're eating and had charged an intent with the food, and as it goes and gets digested and absorbed into the blood, the heart is the container that pumps the blood and circulates the blood. So that would be how it would get in, but that's the only way I could think of it. That's something I hadn't considered.
No, me either. I was just sitting here thinking, well, how would we fill it? And then maybe fill it with love, fill it with intention, like you said. So, yeah. Okay. See, we're learning here just listening for the chat from the chat room, too. So how does container magic work?
Container magic works by essentially creating a mini spirit or thought form that exists both in the container itself and then out in the universe to manifest your desire. The spirit is created through a combination of your mental focus and your thoughts and feelings on the process, any physical energy involved, whether it be grinding herbs or even the physical acts of lighting a candle, sewing objects, stuffing materials, drawing, all of the physical actions that use the physical energy, as well as all of every single individual item has its own energy. And what you do as you form the container magic is you take each bit of the energy one at a time and you shape them and mold it into one big, bigger force. So it takes all the smaller forces from each individual herb or crystal or curio and melds it together based on a one singular desire into one form. And that form is then sent out into the universe to do its work.
I've got another message in chat room. She says she almost hates to ask, but is a Dybbuk box a container magic?
A what?
Dybbuk box. It's I know what it is. I'm trying to. It's kind of a negative box. A Dybbuk is like a demon in a sense, and there is something called a Dybbuk box. And so I guess it's a box, and it's probably a negative box. And I guess it would be a container.
I was going to say, if it contains or is used to contain a magical energetic force or a spirit, then in essence, it's a form of container magic. Those people that seal spirits to dolls and trap them in there unwillingly, they're turning those dolls into vessels for the spirit and thus making the dolls into a form of container magic.
Okay. Let's talk about choosing the right container for the right spell. I mean, is there the right and wrong way? Or is it your intent and you think it's going to work, it'll work?
There really isn't a right and wrong way. In the end, it's going to boil down to what is actually available for you. But there are a couple of things I consider. Like, is it a container that I am going to be using again? Like, any money spells that I do, any money work that in a container I do, I always tend to use the same jar or same containers, because that builds up a time period over time. What are you making the container for? Some spells do better in smaller containers, like sachets or small mini bottles that can be carried with you. Others need to be kept in a single place to do their work. So it really boils down to what work are you doing with the spell, and is it something that you're going to carry with you all the time, or is it something that's going to largely be sitting in a place and kept in touch only once or twice a day to be fed and activated?
And I think, too, maybe it's something that you feel really comfortable with, that container that you choose. So that probably filters in a little bit, too, isn't it?
It does. Another thing is, this goes back to what you're doing for the spell work, is are you going to be destroying the container as part of the spell? Because there are some spells in my container magic book where you do destroy the container as part of the working.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is your answer, then you're going to want to choose a container that you can break according to what you need. So if you were going to burn it, you would need something like paper or cardboard or wood that is burnable. But if you're looking at smashing something, then you could use like a glass jar or bottle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Depends on what you're doing in the spell and what's available.
Okay. Someone got a hold of me in Facebook this morning and asked, they wanted to know if someone that isn't a witch can work this kind of magic anyway.
Oh, yes. The spells in the book come from both witchcraft and another magical tradition that isn't witchcraft, that's conjure.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't belong to either one or practice either one of those, if you're just interested in giving the magic a try, container magic is a good way to start, because it's fairly straightforward once you understand the process of forming the energy together and keeping it active. And that process is the same for all of them. It's just you just change a few tweaks for different containers. Like poppets are going to have a little extra work in them than a sachet or a jar.
You know, there's so many possibilities. I mean, that's just amazing. But, okay, so anybody can do that, but here's the thing. Once we choose our containers, we need to charge them. And I think you need to kind of help us take them through the process. I mean, the first thing is the petitions, which is a written statement of consent, or content, rather, all the way through the casting spells and releasing the energy. So can you kind of give us a little bunch of information about charging?
Yeah, before you charge the container, you need to actually decide what materials you're going to use. And that I usually recommend a total of 3 to 5 ingredients for the materials going in the container, but no more than 7 or 9. Because when you put too many things in, it gets too complicated and there's too much going on. But if you put 3 to 5, you have what you are looking for. And generally what I do when I'm building a container is I have one herb that's about protecting whatever I'm trying to get, because whatever I have, I don't want to lose it when I gain it. I want to be able to keep it. It's usually one herb related to specifically attraction. So that's usually something like sugar or rosemary or things like that. And then there's the rest, the other herbs are associated with the general intent in some way, shape or form. Like for money jar, it would, one might be fast cash, one might be success, one might be luck, one might be just protect money in general or money in general. So once you choose your materials, then you're ready to start working on the spell. And the charging process actually begins with the materials. That's why you need to know which materials you're doing first. Because one of the important things to do is that if you don't give the materials in your container magic a specific job, if you don't tell them what to do and you don't wake up the spirits, you're not going to have anything. You're not going to get any magic or anything. But one of the ways I do that is I hold the herb or crystal in my hand and I feel its energetic vibrations, and I try to align my energetic vibrations with it by stating, I vibrate in harmony with, and then tap on the material. And once that's done, the material is awake, then I tell it, I need you to do this work. Then I place it in the container. And then I repeat that for each ingredient. Once all of the materials are in the container, it gets charged by the actions of shaking or manipulating the container. Poppets aren't really shaken. They're played with, and the herbs are mixed around by fondling the sachet or the poppet. Jars and bottles and balls are things that you can shake and get energy going that way. And you can do that for as long as you can. If you have a lot of mental focus, direct any mental energy you have, any images, any colors you associate with your goal into the container as you're manipulating it. When you can no longer hold on to those images and you can feel the energy vibrating from the container, it's all charged and ready to go. So now that it's charged, it just needs to be set somewhere and fed.
I was going to ask you about feeding the container. Can you explain about that?
Yep, I was about to get into that, because that's the next step. Feeding the container is what keeps it charged. And one of the things I do to feed the container is I pass it through incense associated with the work at hand. Mm-hmm. I anoint or the material, the container, with oils or tinctures. I can pass it through candles or pass it through the flame or safely over, depending on what you're doing. You don't want to catch fire. So, and then there's also the shaking it or manipulating the container at least once a day, ideally 2 to 3 times a day, as long as you need the work. But it's the daily manipulation that releases the energy out into the universe and also builds some of the energy. It's what keeps the energy both attached to the container and out in the universe at the same time, by being a way to release and feed it energy at the same time.
And I was reading in the book too about some containers are designed to have an indefinite length, you know, and not just, okay, we're going to do it now and it'll be over in 5 minutes. But they like need to be charged maybe once a month is what I read in the book.
Yes.
So there is.
Yep. Those would be things like peaceful home charms. Those are things that, you know, who doesn't want to always have a peaceful home? Mm-hmm. So you build the charm according to however you want to build it, whatever you associate with peace and prosperity in your home. And then you would do the daily feeding, but then once a month you would do a more intense meeting where you do a more formal ritual, and that's where you would use all of them. You would use incense, oils, candles, baths, and just put all together. So it's kind of like a mini recreation of these casting of and creating of the container. You're just not adding any new materials to the container. You're just feeding it energy back related to it.
Okay. I'm going to take a break in about a minute or two, but I just want to go back to talking about people that aren't witches. And, you know, there will be people that may not know how to create a spell. So can they just kind of say out loud what their wishes are when they're doing rather than doing not a real spell. I mean, whatever is, everything is not going to be like in rhyme or, you know, something like that. But your intent,
Yes, that's what petition is for. It's just a written statement of intent that could be as simple as, this is what I want. Or it could be a little more specific, including details about things that you don't want to, you need to avoid, or things that have to be associated. But as long as it is a simple, this is what I want, this is what I'm getting, for your base intent, so the universe knows what you're looking for, you're golden.
Okay, yeah, because that makes sense. I mean, but people say, well, no, I can't do this because I don't know how to make a spell. Well, a spell isn't always what you think it is, you know. It can be a whole lot of things. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, everybody. So stay put, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Way, there's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house.
Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit HFOTUSA.org.
Throughout time, events have occurred that have shaped human history. Spirit voices from the past have many stories to tell, and for the past several years, channelers Barry and Connie Strom have been conducting live channeling sessions and relaying those stories and messages from those on the other side. We invite you to tune in to Barry and Connie's new show, Channeling History, on the Para-X Radio Network, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as they relay the messages of those voices from the past, the ones who have witnessed history firsthand, and those who have made history themselves.
Hey everyone, it's Marla. If you like tonight's episode of Stirring the Cauldron and the archive podcast as well, take a look at the show's YouTube channel and check out the dozens of shows that are there just waiting to be heard. New shows are added each week, and while you're there, why not subscribe? It's free. And if you click on that tiny little bell icon at the top of the page, you'll be notified when new shows are available. Just go to youtube.com and then type in Stirring the Cauldron Para-X and the link will appear. Just like magic.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is Charity Bedell, and she's giving us all kind of heads up on how to do spell casting using sachets and bottles and poppets and jars. And, you know, I keep thinking about this, you know, as I was going through this. I was going through the thing of taking care of the cat while we were on break, and it just came into my head, though, not about the cat. But what about a music box? A music box that has a theme of what you want to do a spell about. And, I mean, this is neat. I mean, I keep thinking about stuff, but that would be right, right?
Yes, as long as the music box, you know, is like a music jewelry box where it opens and you have a section to put things in.
Yeah, like a jewelry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only instead of jewelry, yeah. In this case, it would be for a music box. I would use cut photos from a magazine. People always look at me strange when I mentioned go to the dollar store and look at the toys. If there's a little plastic toy that's small that resembles what you're looking for in your goal, put it in the box. Put it in your charm bag. It's using toys in your magic is okay. If the symbols work for you, then the magic will work. Especially since, you know, a lot of the little toy animals and toy figures look a lot like their real life counterparts.
Mm-hmm. So you could, like, take a toy dog or cat and do a healing spell on your dog or cat. Kind of like that? Yeah. I like that. See, there's just a thousand different things that, you know, you can do. There's another question from the chat room. Does a type of mojo bag work best by being with you or on you for a time, or can you leave it without losing its effects?
mojo bags, sachets, and gris bags, all of those work best when they're carried on you. Now, like in my case, my pants don't have big pockets oftentimes, so that's not how I'm going to be able to do it. But I have a purse or a bag with me that I can carry with me, and I can have the sachet or mojo bag in my purse, and that constitutes carrying it with me. Because when you carry it with you, it's sending that energy out with you wherever you go, giving it more opportunities to work on your behalf and make the work happen. It's all about getting the energy out there so that the work can happen. And that's why the charms and spells in the book cover large charms that would be kept in place, as well as tiny small charms that can fit in your pocket or wallet, and even how to make a simple charm using paper. Paper packets are actually probably my favorite form of container magic, because I've learned how to do that when I was during one of my lowest times, and I had very few tools at my service inside to work with magic. But they ended up being the most effective spells I have ever done.
That's kind of neat. I'm just looking at something. We know now, okay, we were talking about how to use container magic. So how do we end the spells or dispose the contents?
For this, I'm going to use an example of, at first, of a spell that's indefinite, because that's what we had left off with, was an indefinite spell, and how some of them are just meant to stay in place. Yeah. This example is a witch's jar, or a witch's bottle, or a witch's ball. All three of those do the same exact thing. They are all protection spells, protection against baneful magic, protections against evil spirits, protection against jealousy, against the evil eye, demons, all of that stuff. And once those are made and set, you leave them in place. They're not disposed of or destroyed unless you move. And then when that happens, in this case, and this is the case of what you would do for a lot of the extended time, long-term spells, is you completely destroy them. You break, if it's a glass jar, you break the glass jar, you smash it. If it's something that's burnable, you burn it. You do everything you can to destroy it. And that releases it for, in those cases, in the case of the witch's jar, it releases the energy that had been trapped. And so that energy can now be neutralized back in the earth. With other spells, it just releases any remaining energy back into the universe to be used as it wants.
Okay.
For your regular shorter term, maybe carry for a month or so, charm, like for a, let's just say a gambling charm bag that you're taking out only a couple times a month when you go gambling, whether you play poker or going to a casino or something. When you no longer need that charm thing, first, what you do is if it's a little sachet that you can use again, you want to take all of the materials out and you want to set the sachet container aside and you will cleanse it and wash it and remove everything that was just in it so it can be used again in something else. And the rest of the materials, personal effects, herbs, and other single-use items are disposed of in a trash can, or if possible, I know it's not possible everywhere, but if it's possible, burying the herbs in the ground is the ideal way to dispose of them. If you have plants inside your home, you can use the soil in the planter to dispose of the herbs in that way. But ideally, they would be going into the earth or soil. If that's not possible, you thank them for their help getting you what you wanted. You release all that's left of them and you replace them, the remains, in the trash can. Anything that can be reused, so a magnet, a crystal, sometimes things like pins and needles, anything that can be used again is set aside and cleansed and reused in other magical work.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. If you had, say, a witch's jar, and, you know, they're for good and for bad. People think maybe they're all for bad, but they're not. So if you want to get rid of that, you get rid of it, but you need to cleanse it because you might want to use it for something not the same thing that you were using it for before, right?
No. Witch's jars are a specific type of container magic, and they come in three forms. And witches' mm-hmm. jars are always destroyed when they are done their work because they are done, they are trapping negativity, they are trapping evil spirits. They are preventing baneful magic from hitting your home. So you don't want any of the stuff that got in there while it was doing its job ever come back. So that's why you destroy it and you just toss it away. Witches' jars are always destroyed. Jar spells, on the other hand, are not. That's the difference.
Okay. All right. Now, one thing we're going to talk about, some of the things that are in the book. First of all, there are exercises galore. There's a chapter for things like tapping into the energy and waking the spirit. But I think just about everything in there has an exercise that goes along with it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's an exercise for choosing your container. There are exercise for, it shows you how to write a petition. There's an exercise in there for how to create, you know, sigils. Oh, hey. I didn't forget, but it actually made me remember that one of the exercises in the filling chapter is about gathering dirt and dealing with that. And I happen to have a new book on that coming out in June.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about it before we went on the air, but it is exactly what it is. It's using dirt, all kinds of dirt. Tell us just a little bit about it, and then we'll get back to the bottles, the containers.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up, because I mentioned in the back of the Container Magic book, in the resource section, one of the resource correspondences is magical properties of locations, aka dirt. So, and basically, The new book is all about connecting with those spirits, how to properly gather the dirt, and then all kinds of spells and rituals to illustrate the various ways that you can work with them.
I'm just thinking, I mean, if you get it from, well, a lot of people know about cemetery dirt, but I mean, if you want to go to okay, for example, and this is just off the top of my head, you want to gamble and you go someplace where there is maybe casinos or something and grab the dirt from there, right? That kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, again,
you would take that dirt, and I would add something like iron pyrite or fool's gold and allspice to the dirt, and I would put it in probably ideally a small yellow bag that was either drawstring or that I just tied a knot with, and carry that with me, and that would be a very simple gambling charm bag using the power of the dirt, but also all of the herbs and stuff, and is a container spirit.
All this stuff is really neat because it just keeps your head going over and over and over. It's kind of an amazing thought. Also, there are spells in the book. There are actually 100+ spells in the book. And, you know, most of the containers mentioned in the book are fairly common, but there was a couple of containers that need a bit more explaining, like ball spells and packet spells. Yeah, what are they?
So that's fun. So when it comes to the ball spells, there are actually a couple different types. The first type is semi-obvious, and that's basically taking plastic or glass ornament balls and filling them with herbs and curios related to what you want to do for yourself and setting them in the home to manifest. Then there's also where you can make clay balls. I believe is what I do. I have my book right here with me just to remember what I did for those.
Yeah, and honestly, there is so much information in there. I can't see that you could remember everything because it's like 200 or more than 200 pages, but it's a little tiny print, so there's way, way more than you think.
So, yeah. So you have the ornament balls, which is pretty much self-explanatory. You make them and you use them as house decorations, and as they hang about the house and you touch them and play with them and look at them, they release their energy around the home and they do their job. The other thing is that you can make a magical ball from clay or dirt. And the idea is that depending on what you're doing, you get the clay and the dirt and you mix in all the herbs and you knead it and you spend the time making it into a nice little ball. And then you set that aside and let it harden and dry. And then if you're trying to remove something, you will take the dirt and clay ball and you will throw it so far away, or you will smash it and destroy it in some other fashion. If you're trying to bring something to you, you're going to still going to destroy the ball, but it's going to be less aggressive and more You're going to be breaking off small bits of the ball and sprinkling it around the your house or whatever it is to attract what you want.
I've got another question from the chat room.
She
wants to know if you can use old marbles with their colors and designs to instill them with spells and then put them in containers.
Oh, marbles would make a wonderful thing, marbles would work especially well for ball spells or a center room, peaceful home type jar spell, because they're pretty and they're attractive. And as I said, their colors and the symbols can be associated with the spell, and put those in and include those as one of the many as one of the ingredients or correspondences in your spell. Make it your own. So yes, I would definitely do that.
That sounds good. Now let's go in part three. That's where your resources are, like the herbals and root correspondences, crystals and minerals and metals and all kinds of stuff. But I really like the fact that you have another category, which is curio and other materials as well. So what are a couple of curios and other material that we work with?
Curios are things like shed animal skins, seashells, magnets, pins or needles. A horseshoe would be a curio. They're just other things and materials that have magical correspondences that you can use in your practice and in your containers.
Yeah, I always kind of like, lots of people do what you're expecting to read, and then all of a sudden, oh, curious, curious curios. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool. And you also have things like in the book, like recipes for making incenses and oil recipes. I think you've left no stone unturned in this book on everything.
Yeah, the incenses and oils are one of the tools you use to charge your containers. So it made sense to include a couple of recipes that people can use as a starting idea. And if they take that into consideration, plus the extensive correspondence list that I provided, people will be able to create their own oils and their own incenses and really make the magic their own. Because that was my big goal with this, was to provide several different examples of the different types of containers and ways they can be worked, but also show people how easy this type of magic is and how they can make it their own with anything they have on hand.
This is good. This is really good. And the woman that asked about the marbles said she's got 4 mason jars filled with some that date back into the 60s or so, and she's going to take some out and work with them.
I wish her luck, and I would love to hear how that works.
It sounds really neat, and I've got some marbles from my dad when he was a kid, and he's been long gone, so yeah, I never thought about that.
That one I would actually use in something to... you could use those and actually a small ancestor charm since they were his, make a maybe little ball decoration that's decorative and say, this is in your honor, ancestors. I made this with something that was yours, Dad, and put it on an ancestor altar.
I was just going to say, put it on my altar. Yeah. And I do have an ancestor altar, so that will work pretty good. All right. Well, we are running out of time. So where can people find you on social media, or do you have a website?
I am working on creating a brand new author website right now. It's attached to my business, which also is currently suspended and work being reworked. But you can find me on Facebook as Charity L. Bedell. And I have both a personal page and an author page. You can contact me on either one. Just, you know, tell me where you heard, met me or came across me, and I will gladly respond. I'm on X/Twitter as Luna Wind. And Luna Wind is also, I believe, my Instagram. If not, my Instagram is under Mystic Echoes.
We've all got so many things to remember, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I've got a couple others that I'm trying to work with again, but they have nothing. Those are the ones that I know I'm always using, so.
Well, maybe when you come back to talk about dirt, maybe they'll be up and running and stuff. So we'll look forward to that. But in the meantime, I'm really thank you for sharing the book. I know, you know, it made me think a lot and get creative just thinking about it. So, yeah, it's good. And I think a lot of people now will be a little less hasty about tossing out containers also. You know, they're just taking up room. No, use them for spell casting. That will be good.
Well, so I mean, that was also one of the jokes that came up. A joke that came about thinking this is that there's always these jokes and memes about how one of the things ways you know someone is a witch is that they have boxes and boxes of jars, mm-hmm. containers that they just kept because they don't know when they're going to need to use them, but it's a good container, so they're going to keep it and use it for something.
I know that very well. Okay. Well, thank you, and let's thank all the people that are listening in. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.